But if you can give people something that's going to trigger a memory and hold it to your brand name, you win.
Hi, everyone. I'm Mike. She's Holly. And this is Married to Marketing, a weekly podcast where we cover topics from marketing to customer experience to technology and how you can apply it to your business strategy today. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Married to Marketing. She's Holly, and I'm Mike, and we're back in the new year. It's 2020, and we've got more good marketing stuff coming this year, and we're excited to get back into kind of the next season of the podcast.
Yeah, so here we are, season two, episode one. I think we want to kick it off this year. Mike, you had a really popular post on LinkedIn this week talking about apartments.com and their marketing strategy for 2020. You want to just walk us through it real quick?
Yeah, obviously apartments.com is a huge site. You know, in the industry, people refer to it as an ILS, an internet listing service, but it's a place where apartment companies go to advertise their listings, thus the name apartments.com, right? They are touting how much money they're spending on their own marketing campaigns and where it's going to go. So this year, they're increasing their marketing budget. They're spending $250 million.
Yeah, I've already received four mailings this year, and it's the third week of January.
So obviously some of that money is going towards direct mail.
Yeah.
But I thought it was interesting to look at, you know, if they're a huge company and they're upping their marketing spend, and they laid out where that money's going. They are doubling their investment in paid search, PPC. They are increasing their spend on YouTube by 500%. They're increasing all of the retargeting that they're doing for the people who are coming to their site. They're spending more on traditional TV ads, especially targeting live sports and big events. They're ramping up targeted audio and things like podcasts and advertising on podcasts. So there's a lot there. And some of it is, hey, we're just going to spend more on digital. And some of it is, here are some interesting things that you might not be thinking of, but we're trying to get our name out there in all these different places.
Yeah, I think something we're probably going to have to dive into on another episode is just the live event advertising. And I heard someone from CVS the other day call it eventizing. And then how much more marketing dollars or advertising dollars are going towards live events versus regular programmed.
Eventizing.
Yeah.
That's so interesting.
Earmark that for another episode.
All right.
We got to get into it.
Yeah. So first, I guess I would ask, you know, as someone who is advertising apartments, what's your just initial impression and take on what apartments.com announced and what they're doing with their marketing dollars?
You know, first off, it's like, if you want to spend more money, that's great. What I don't want to see, I'm afraid it's going to happen, but I don't want to see, is the increase in my spend that I have to pay to advertise on their site.
You just feel like your prices are going up.
Right. I mean, the opposite could be that they increased pricing last year and now they're trying to justify it. It's going to be one way or the other. That's my guess as to why they're putting such a push behind telling everyone how much more they're spending. It's got to be one of these two. Either they're justifying the increase they just made and or they're about to increase all their prices. That's my guess. That's the property manager in me being super pessimistic. So second to that is, I think there was a push for a long time about people not wanting to be on a bunch of ILSs. Just because there's a ton out there, right? We have a bunch of choices. And for a long time, it was what we kind of called just the lazy advertising, the buying of leads. And so there was a lot of, there was maybe some backlash. What do you think, starting 3 years ago about no more ILSs or like cut down your ILSs? So I think all of the internet listing sites, including apartments.com, are still trying to win back some love from the property management community as a whole. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think, you know, go back to the first thing that, CoStar's doing with apartments.com, and it's doubling their investment in PPC. I think that for a lot of apartment companies, as soon as they figured out that they could run their own PPC ads or that they could hire an agency to run Google ads for them, in a lot of people's minds, I think that that immediately went to, well, I can just buy the traffic on Google and I don't need the ILSs anymore. Which, you know, may or may not be the case, depending on how good you are at Google Ads. But I think that that certainly kind of fueled a lot of that backlash you're talking about.
Truth. You know, for me, I think people kind of zero in too hard on one thing instead of looking at the really big picture. And, you know, I'm always going to go back to the full customer journey, not just one piece of it. Yep. And it's like, sure, you could spend a lot of money on Google Ads, and I'm not saying that's not a piece of even an individual property's play, but at the end of the day, there's, at the beginning of the journey, a customer doesn't want to see one property. They want to see a lot of options, right? Yep. And just even figure out what's going on in the city they're in, what are the prices, and the, you know, what can they afford, whatever those initial questions are. They're not looking to get that from one property. They are going to reference any of the large ILSs for that information.
And a good chance there's probably going to reference all of them, all of the ones that are showing up on the first page of Google. And it certainly makes sense for advertisers to be in those marketplaces. If someone's going to go to apartments.com, if they're going to go to Zillow, any of the other big sites like that, you want to be in that marketplace, because if you're not showing up, you're probably not making it to the next step in that person's shopping journey.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You know, we talked last year, but we did the customer journey study, and we're looking at everyone's kind of research across their whole shopping experience. And we saw that on average, they were visiting 4 separate ILSs. That doesn't mean you need to be on all 4, but at a minimum, I think you should be on 1.
Yeah. Yeah. You need to show up, because that's where people are going. Like you said, they're looking for options. If you're a small-time band and you're trying to get more exposure, you want to be on iTunes and Spotify and all of the different streaming services. If you're Taylor Swift or Beyonce or Garth Brooks and you have the name recognition, you don't need Spotify, because you can just tweet out, hey, I dropped a new album, go to my website and buy it. Most apartment companies don't have the brand cachet of Beyonce or Garth Brooks.
Truth, don't we wish, right? And I think even to stay with your analogy, when you're a small-time band, you're looking to open for one of the big-time brands, right? So you've, or bands, excuse me, bands. You want to be associated with that. And again, just by association, that is getting you on the same site.
Yeah. So one of the things that I shared is the takeaways. If I'm not a huge company, and if I'm a smaller brand, what is it that apartments.com is telling us about their marketing that we can take away and that we can use in our own marketing strategies? And I think that's kind of where it gets fun for me, is I think about all this stuff all the time of, okay, how do I take what I'm seeing and flip it and remix it and make it useful for me or the brands that I work with? So, you know, there's some things there. First one you already talked about, right? If you need the exposure, especially at that top of the funnel, take it. They're clearly willing to spend the money and give you that exposure. They're willing to spend. Leverage it if you truly need traffic and you really just need more people with eyeballs on your brand.
Right.
So that's the first thing. They're going to spend the money. You might as well ride that gravy train if you can.
Yeah, you're not going to be able to compete with that PPC spend.
But I think it's worth noting that they're spending more on PPC, which means it's obviously working for them. So you might not be able to, you won't be able to spend at that level, but you probably can spend at whatever level makes sense for you. And PPC, when done well, can be a really good channel for driving traffic.
Truth. It's just probably not that top of the funnel again. It's all about understanding the strategy that's going to work best to ultimately get you leases.
And I think that that's where the next thing comes in that's really interesting, is that they are, what they say, they're increasing their YouTube spend by 500%. Mm. So I think that there are some things to look at there to go, where can we follow their lead on underpriced opportunities? So while Facebook newsfeed is getting more expensive, while Google PPC is getting more expensive, YouTube retargeting and things like Instagram stories, things like retargeting are still underpriced in today's market. They see that, they know that, they're putting even more money towards those sources. And I think that that's something where you can, as a smaller business, take a similar approach.
Right. And that goes back to something we know about Gen Z, right? When they decide, when you actually get their attention and they decide to do a deep dive of research on you, they want to find out literally every little piece of information they can find about you. And they're going to spend 60 to 90 minutes on that deep dive going across the entire internet. So like showing up on YouTube is a really big deal for that, because that's when they're going to get a real true feel for whatever your product is.
Man, there's so much even just there to dig into, of take all your FAQs and turn them into videos and things like that. There's a lot there. One thing that you mentioned the live events and TV. I thought it was interesting to see that they're putting more into what they called targeted audio and podcasts. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, I have a couple thoughts, but I wanted to get your impression on what on where they're going with that.
Well, I mean, I think it's just smart in aligning themselves with what consumers are doing nowadays, right? Like, I don't know about you, my commute was about an hour a day in DC, driving 3.5 miles. Because yay traffic. But I wasn't listening to the radio because that just upset me. I was listening to podcasts, you know?
Yeah.
So being where they think their consumers are and following that shift from, you know, maybe traditional radio over to Spotify or over to some of the podcasts makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah. Average consumer is spending a lot more time with podcasts. Commutes for a lot of people aren't going down. So it's really about attention and where the customer attention is and going there.
Yeah, def.
Very cool. I think that that's one where for smaller businesses, there may be some opportunities to play that at a local level too. If there are some really good local podcasts or, are there plays there where it makes sense and you can get even more targeted, because they're going to go after the huge podcasts. They're going to spend money on the serials, those kinds of things. You might be able to find something that's way more relevant to a local audience that isn't even on their radar.
Yeah. Agreed.
And get it for a lot cheaper. Beyond that, I think there's still some things there that we can learn. Like, if you're in a marketplace, people are looking for options, but it probably means that there are lots of options and lots of competition.
Oh, yes.
So this is where it gets into, all right, if we see Apartments.com is going to be spending this much more money to promote me and all of my competitors, what are all the things that we need to do to make sure that we stand out?
Agreed.
And I think the first one is just be better than everybody else at follow-up.
Yes. You know, this is like my heart. I think that what we saw, not what I think, I know what we saw from the customer journey surveys and studies were that a lot of people just dropped out of the apartment search because they couldn't even get an apartment community to respond back to them.
Yeah.
It was something like 75% never heard back from the folks that they reached out to or the businesses they reached out to. So if you take that and just think about the fact that you know, setting up the proper drip campaigns, you know, just even your first auto reply for when you're not actually at your business or there's no one there to respond leads them to the next step that they can take on their own. That's just good business. And it just, it's about nurturing them, continuing them down the path. That initial lead is just, there's value there. But the value really, really expands when you get them further down the funnel, obviously.
Yeah, and that can be email, that can be through texting, mm-hmm. that can even be through retargeting.
Sure.
You know, taking all those leads and, you know, yes, you want to contact them directly through email, but you also want to stay in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, put all of those people into a retargeting audience and show up in their Facebook feed, show up on Instagram so that you can keep telling your story while they're getting your emails too.
Yeah, I think the thing there is just be sure that you actually are following up, because I've seen it on more than one occasion. You know, I spend a lot of time shopping comps and just going through the journey myself, and there's nothing more frustrating than when you can't hear back from someone but you keep getting retargeted their ads. It's like, I've already reached out to you 3 times. I've called, and I think that's what happens with some of these apartment communities, is they'll see the same person reach out to them through 4 different ILSs, guessing that something was broken.
Yeah.
You've probably seen the comments on some of the ads that you've done for other businesses.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, can someone reach out to me, please? I'm interested.
Yeah.
You know, then there's the other side of retargeting, which I think is really relevant for you, which is, I don't need to see this ad because I already bought it.
Yes.
You got me. It worked before.
What are you saying, Mike? I'm an easy mark.
This one, I think, is one of your favorites. It's when you're in that really competitive marketplace, there are so many of those other of those competitors that don't really do anything to stand out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you see this on Amazon. There's not a whole lot of Amazon brand loyalty in a lot of cases. It's just show me the one that's the best price and the best reviews, and I get what I need.
Mm-hmm.
But for a lot of brands, I think there is a real need for finding a way to stand out. And one of the things, like, you call this an anchor.
Right.
And I would love for you to talk through just that idea of creating an anchor.
Yeah, and I think this really comes from that either an emotional response or being able to create a memory for someone. That's typically done where I see it is a little bit further down the funnel when mm-hmm. you can start to have any in-person interactions more than your initial advertising. But if you can give people something that's going to trigger a memory and hold it to your brand name, you win so much more, even if it's just the word of mouth advertising that you're going to get from them. And I think a really simple example is when we were down in Clearwater Beach with your family.
Yep.
And we went to Jimmy's Crow's Nest.
That's right.
And I never remember anything, guys. So the fact that I actually remember the name of the business, huge first step. But what they did was right at sunset, they passed out little basically shot glasses of rum punch, and everyone at this restaurant takes a shot right at sunset.
And they have a countdown to
yes.
sunset every day.
Exactly.
So they make it an event that you are looking forward to the entire day.
Yeah.
And then at sunset, they ring a big bell and they do a cheer and everybody does a shot.
Right. And if you think about Clearwater Beach, or even if you haven't been there, you can kind of imagine there are a bajillion bars and restaurants that you could go to.
Yep.
But these guys took the time to think of something that makes it special, that people are going to remember. And we were sitting, we didn't go there for that reason. We just happened upon it. But as we're sitting there, Mike's uncle mm-hmm. said, "Wow, this is really good marketing." And it made me laugh because he doesn't know anything about marketing. But I was like, yes, it is.
But I think, you know, that tiny little shot of rum punch for, you know, 100 people costs almost nothing.
Pennies.
to that place,
yeah.
Right? It doesn't have to be big. Creating that memorable anchor, you know, other examples that I've seen that I like, DoubleTree Hotels. It's a pretty average hotel chain, but they give everybody a warm cookie, and people know that. Chick-fil-A is known because they're a fast food chain that where their people say please and my pleasure.
Yes.
It that costs nothing. It's just training and taking care of your customer. So it doesn't have to be big. It just has to be memorable.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
And if you're in a giant marketplace and you're competing for that attention, I think that that's something really important.
Agreed.
Even if it is further down the funnel in person, that's something that starts to make it way back up the funnel as more people see it, as more people call it out, as other people are taking pictures of it and putting it on their Instagram, mm-hmm. as you're seeing it in reviews. There's lots of opportunities there for that to help you later down the road.
Right.
So there's a lot here with what Apartments.com is doing. I think it's interesting as a customer of Apartments.com, like for our clients, what mm-hmm. does that mean? What are the takeaways? But one of the things that you noted is that they're not the only ones doing this. The things that Apartments.com is talking about here is really, it's just good business and good marketing in 2020. And one of the things that you noted was what direct-to-consumer, DTC, what DTC brands are doing today to capture more attention.
Right. You know, I think, again, it's, if you want to do the parallel in our industry, I was talking about a few minutes ago, ILSs for a little bit were vilified, right? Like they yeah. were, oh, you don't want to spend all your money there. You can just do this yourself. You don't need to do that. You can go direct to consumer, skip that first step. Well, the reality is that top of the funnel stuff where those leads initially are, you need it. And the same could be said for a lot of these direct-to-consumer brands. They were advertising, just trying to target very specific customers on their own without being in this mass market advertising. So they were basically just on social or just, you know, on some level of digital. But now you see Casper's doing a ton of TV campaigns. Yep. Rothy's, who I love and probably own, what, 5 or 6 pairs right now?
I don't even want to know.
You started it. But they open brick and mortar stores. Peloton, who, whenever they're ready to sponsor me, I'm ready. They are opening brick and mortar demo stores too, like at malls and whatever. It's like the mall, yep. Really, Peloton? But I get it. And then we were on vacation and we heard Peloton advertised on probably Spotify, whatever they were playing.
Everywhere.
Yeah. And it's, and you see the TV commercials and whatever. So everyone's going back to that mass market because I think the lesson learned is you've got to get that initial attention to then even have a lead to nurture.
Yeah. And you now see, as they're trying to increase exposure to new people who might not be as much on digital as we are.
Yes.
But you see that brick and mortar is actually driving, and more traditional marketing is driving their business more than the Facebook ads that built their business initially.
Right.
Warby Parker is another great example where they're opening up brick and mortar stores, and that's now driving the business more than the digital in a lot of cases.
Yeah, exactly. It's just if you want your business to grow, you do really eventually have to get to mass market, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think the big takeaway for me is most of us don't have the $250 million marketing budget that CoStar has to put towards Apartments.com. I would love to get close to having some budget like that someday, but there's still a lot that we can learn about where they're making their investments and what that means for us in our marketing and what good marketing looks like in 2020. And it's not what it was in 2015. Those things have changed. The opportunities have changed. The attention, where the attention is, has changed. What is underpriced versus what is an overpriced opportunity is different today. And we need to be able to adjust. We need to be able to adapt. We need to be able to make sure that our marketing is working for us in the year that we're operating in, not what we were doing 5 years ago.
Agreed.
Anything else to add?
I think that's it, but I think we found like six more topics we're going to cover this year, so
stay tuned. But if there's something that you want us to cover, if there's marketing news that's caught your eye recently or something you want to hear more about, we would love to hear from you. I want to know what you're focused on in 2020 and where your marketing is going. That's it for now. If you find value in these conversations, we want to hear from you. She's Apartmentalist on social, and I'm M. Whaling. Hit us up. We also want you to share the podcast with someone who might find value and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. It helps more than you know. Thanks for being here with us, everybody, and let's make 2020 a great year.
Boom.
That's all we have for this week. Make sure to subscribe and hit us up on social if you have questions or a topic you want to hear us cover on a future episode. Until next time, take care of your customers and keep your eyes and mind open. Inspiration is everywhere, and your next great breakthrough is likely right in front of you. Thank you so much for joining us on this journey. We appreciate you. We'll see you right back here next time on Married to Marketing.